Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome in to the Odds and Audibles podcast. Welcome to your Monday edition. We are breaking up the format for this week. Mailbag will be on Wednesday, so look forward to that. Today, Eric and I are discussing some more verbal commitments to the Oregon Duck football program. Last week, the Ducks went on a run of three walk-on specialists, and now today we're breaking down some receivers on scholarship. One high school commit, Ashton Cozart, who was a flip. And the guy we'll talk first, a transfer, a former four-star recruit, Caleb Chapman from Texas A&M. Eric, you discussed this off the show here. Caleb Chapman, 6'5". He's a senior, but he's got 2 years of eligibility. That probably could have more because of the injuries he sustained in his career. 22 games in his career, 413 career yards, three total touchdowns. All three of those came during the 2020 season. This feels like one of those, hey, if he's a solid role player for us, perfect. Anything more than that, it's a home run get.
Yeah, and you kind of hinted at that at the start. It's injuries. If it weren't for injuries, I mean, I think because this is such a weird commitment, if you just look at the stats,
yeah,
like it's kind of like, why? Like Oregon, I feel pretty good about the current receiver core. You like the guys you have there. Is he really going to play if he's like a guy with less than 500 yards receiving in his career? But when you dig into it, it's like he's had ACL problems. He's had other problems. He's missed a ton of time. He's basically never been fully healthy. When he has been healthy, he's been pretty productive. I mean, the sad thing is you go back and the injury that knocked him out in 2020 was off of a touchdown for like a 50-yard touchdown against a top five Florida team where he had like 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns and looked like he was having a breakout game, maybe a breakout season. He was going to be pretty impactful. This is, you see 6'5", 210. You think, you know, is he vertically, you know, is he able to stretch the field vertically? The answer is, yeah, he can get downfield. He can move. He's a big athletic guy. He just had so many injuries. And so I'm with you, Matt. I think this is really a kind of a bit of a gamble here, but it's a safe gamble because at worst, he eats up a year or two of scholarships, right? At best, he's somebody who actually is pretty impactful because he does have, you know, the requisite size and athleticism and catch radius and all the things you look for at receiver. It's just he hasn't been able to stay healthy. When he's been healthy, he's been pretty productive. So I think the on the surface, the move was a little bit strange in terms of because, hey, Oregon's got a bunch of receivers. This guy hasn't really done much. But when you kind of dig into it, you kind of go, okay, well, the ceiling here could be pretty high if everything works out. And if you get a couple full healthy seasons from him. And as you said, Matt, like I don't know if he wants to play 3 years, but if he wanted to, I bet he could petition for an injury redshirt in one of those seasons because sure. He's just missed so much time due to injuries. So you hope it works out for Oregon and you hope it works out for the kid because as we've said, you know, this is going to be his fourth year, I think, playing college football fifth. And he's just been
hurt.
Literally, he's been hurt the whole time. And you just hope, and he was hurt this spring at A&M and, you know, now he transfers and you hope he's able to make a full recovery and contribute in some way just in terms of his athletic career. Cause it's always a bummer when injuries just completely mar a career. Oregon's dealt with it with like a Cam McCormick his whole time here. Cam's still trying to live out the dream. You kind of hope for Chapman's just that he's able to at least have some moments.
I feel like he's a shoe-in for that medical year if he wants it because 2018 he redshirted because of an injury. That's what the redshirt is intended for. If you have an injury, early on. You can save the rest of the season and do it over again. And then in 2020, three games in, out with another injury. You know, that's what his red shirt is for. So he could apply for a medical red shirt, and I feel like he would have it pretty much locked up, in my opinion. One thing we should know, and I think, okay, why are they taking a risk on this guy? What is there that Oregon sees as, hey, if he comes here for two, maybe it's even 3 years if he gets that third year of eligibility, if he wants to even play that many years, right. Why is Oregon committing that many years of football to a transfer with so little production on the field? We're not trying to be negative towards Caleb, but that's just the reality. I think the reasoning here is he's 6'5", and he is incredibly fast. Brian Peroni, our 24/7 sports reporter down at Texas A&M, he and I were texting over the weekend about him, and he said he is over the top fast. And you look at Oregon's roster, I think Seven McGee is very quick. He has a very good first step, but I don't look at Seven McGee as this just insane barn burner that's going to blow right past you. He's very athletic, but he's not like 4.2 fast. I'm not saying Caleb Chapman is 4.2 fast, but you're adding a guy with serious speed, and he's going to be instantly one of your better receivers on the, you know, taller receivers on your roster. That can be a deadly combination. Like if you said he's able to stay healthy.
Yeah. And just my final thought here is if he's just a specialist, you know, if that's all he can offer is somebody who can take the top off the defense. And I'm not saying that's the case. I don't want to put limits on what he can do. Oregon's got some good young receivers. I think Dante Thornton can stretch the field. Chris Hudson can do that. I agree. I know Seven McGee in the spring game had a long route, but I think he's going to be mostly underneath stuff probably. If Chapman can be a guy out there that can just stretch the field vertically and take the top off, that's going to be valuable. And we're going to talk about another guy in a second who is very adept at that, or Ashton Cozart fits that mold perfectly as a 23 commitment. But there's value in finding guys with that speed. And frankly, I not to be overly critical of guys who've left the program recently, Oregon really lacked that in 21. I think if you go back and look at it, you go, okay, Devin Williams could do a little bit of that. They weren't playing much of Dante Thornton. Hudson could do a little bit of it, but like Micah Pittman and Johnny Johnson and Jalen Redd, those weren't guys that were going to win a ton of battles vertically. I think Oregon as a team was a little slow a year ago, and now you're continuing to add some speed with the addition of Chapman. And I'll be curious to see like what they're able to get out of him. I mean, this is like I said earlier, this is a pretty big gamble. This is a dart throw here of, okay, you could miss the board entirely and he's just never really contributes because of injuries. Or it could be a bullseye because the guy ends up getting healthy, getting in the best shape of his life, and maybe he contributes quite a bit and is a guy who can connect on a couple of deep balls. This is a long time ago, but like a Jordan Kent, where I'm not saying Chapman can't do anything in between, but this is a tall 6'5 guy who could really run. And at times he would connect on those deep passes, and that opened up a lot of stuff for the rest of the receivers. Maybe that can be Chapman's role in 22 and 23.
Let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll discuss the Ashton Cozart verbal commitment for the Oregon Ducks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, welcome back to the Odds and Audibles podcast. Eric Scopel, myself, Matt Brain, breaking down the receiver commitments the Ducks have added. And Eric, Sunday night, the Ducks were able to flip Oklahoma commit Ashton Cozart to quote unquote the good guys. Ashton Cozart is Oregon's fifth verbal commitment in the 2023 recruiting class. Second verbal commitment at the receiver position. Another player ranked inside the top 200. He is 164th. And he cited reasons of leaving Oklahoma for Oregon being that he's from the Pacific Northwest. He grew up in the Seattle area. He always dreamed of playing football in the Pacific Northwest. And he's fulfilling that dream now. I think this is a big get for the Ducks.
Guy, you go watch the highlights. He runs by people really, really easily. And, you know, you don't want to judge high school football all the time, but that's big boy football down in Texas. That's not Gresham or something like that in Oregon. That's not, a small area where there's a huge talent disparity. This is a guy with legit track speed. I think he ran sub 10.7 as a sophomore. This is his junior year in track. It's kind of just in the middle of that. I couldn't really find too many times that were recent, but the speed there is very evident. And we just talked about how Chapman provides Oregon some speed to take off the top of the defense. I think Cozart can be somebody who does that as well at Oregon. And he's got good size at 6'2.5". They list him at all round up and say he's 6'3". Finding 6'3" guys that can run, like, they're not that they don't exist. They're all over the place to a certain extent, but they are a commodity too. And I think this addition makes a lot of sense in terms of you're trying to round out this receiver class. I think this will be a fairly sizable class for receiver at Oregon just because they only took two in 21, like, or 22, I should say, sorry. I'm imagining they're going to take four, maybe five. If there's a couple guys that really stand out that feel like they're must takes. And I think Cozart is a player who, I don't want to say wasn't on the radar, but I feel like I went on vacation. You just started kind of hearing his name and I come back, by the way, welcome back to myself from vacation. And now he's a Duck. So I mean, the kind of turnaround on this was pretty impressive. And especially for a guy who, again, like I said, I think is a pretty high end player and, at least has some skills that pretty clearly translate that kind of speed and athleticism. And I don't want to say he's just a deep ball threat because you go watch it. He high points the ball. He has a couple of plays in traffic that are impressive too. But I think primarily, at least to start out, you know what he can do running vertically on those kind of routes. And I imagine that's a big part of what, you know, Kenny Dillingham and Junior Adams found attractive. And I do want to give just kind of some credit to Junior Adams because this has been a pretty darn impressive start from a player acquisition perspective. You know, they went out and they landed Jurian Dickey, who we just talked to Greg Biggins a couple of weeks ago, who said that he has a potential to be a five-star. Kyler Casper in the previously a 23 guy who's reclassified to join the team this year. That's a big addition. That's a super athletic player. Chase Cota, Caleb Chapman, finishing off the recruitment for Justice Lowe. I mean, you look at all the work that Junior Adams has done here, gone and got a bunch of four-star or so talent and added some valuable transfers as well. So, you know, Adams was somebody who came over from Washington, kind of a mixed bag in terms of what Washington had said about him in terms of the fan base wasn't particularly high on his work, but he's come to Oregon and from a talent acquisition perspective, really hit the ground running. And this just kind of furthers what's been a really, really, I think a pretty impressive first, whatever, 7-8 months for him and Eugene.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Junior Adams because you look at his accomplishments at Oregon and he's been here all of what, 5 months, Eric?
Yeah, I said seven or eight. That was wrong. It's like 6 months, five, six months. Yeah.
And I mean, he still hasn't, I say that in a jokingly manner, still hasn't signed his all-time highest rated commit yet, but his second highest rated commit, his third highest rated commit, and his fourth rated highest commit, all are guys that have signed with Oregon or have signed or committed with Oregon in the last 2.5 months. Jurian Dickey is number two. Kyler Casper is number three, and he is enrolled into Oregon for summer school next month. Ashton Cozart is the most recent one. And that also doesn't factor in Justice Lowe, who committed to Oregon. Doesn't factor in Caleb Chapman, who has committed to Oregon. It doesn't factor in Chase Cota, who has transferred and enrolled and taken part in spring ball and looked amazing in spring football. Junior Adams is quickly earning his pay at Oregon. $575,000 salary. Everyone was kind of a little taken back by that large amount. We're seeing why. Dan Lanning saw something in him. The early returns in spring ball, I think you would probably agree with me that the receiving group saw improvement. That they improved. The younger guys got better as spring progressed. The spring game certainly showed a lot of talent between Chase Cota, Thornton, Franklin, and Seven McGee. Those guys all had big days. And then off the field, from a recruiting perspective, he's killing it. I mean, he's the second best coach in the Pac-12. That's tremendous.
Yeah, the updated recruiter rankings have Adams number two behind Dante Williams at USC and then number 17 nationally. So I know it's a small sample size to a certain degree because there's only two commitments there with Dickey and Cozart, but those are two of your best, what, three or four recruits in this cycle so far? I think two of your best three. Like it's an impressive start for Adams. And to Cozart, like I think that's a guy who you think about maybe how he fits down the line. Oregon is a program which has a lot of really good young receivers, but they're not always going to pan out. And yeah, there's probably a guy or two who's going to look to hit the portal. And I'm not going to be surprised by probably 23 might be a little early to expect him to be too much of a contributor, but by 2024, you don't know how many of these young players are still going to be on the roster. And I'm not going to be surprised if Cozart, by the time his second fall at Oregon rolls around, isn't somebody who's a pretty big contributor. I don't know if he's going to be a starter, but he could be in that kind of, I probably expect him to be honest. And it's hard to say because the portal, there's a lot of jockeying and new players coming in and out, but like, I would probably expect by his second year, he's at least a guy that's probably in that two deep or at least competing to be there just because of the ceiling with his athleticism. I mean, I think again, guys with that type of speed are, I'm not saying they're totally uncommon, but they are a certain value just because it impacts the defense. And we know what Kenny Dillingham has talked about doing. We know Oregon wants to be aggressive throwing the ball down the field. And I think Cozart's another guy that really fits well into what we know so far about what Kenny Dillingham wants to do offensively.
Let's wrap it up with this. There aren't a lot of seniors on this roster at Oregon at the receiver position. Chase Cota is the only one. Caleb Chapman could be, depending on what he wants to do. Does he want to use his extra year of eligibility that the NCAA has given him, or is he done after one season? So that could be two. We could see a couple guys graduate and be able to either just, hey, I'm done, or maybe they transfer new spot. They got their degree. They did what they were asked to do at Oregon. And now they're going to look for a fresh start. There are a couple guys that fit that, which would bring the number to four. I think three right now is the best case scenario from a recruiting standpoint. Go out, find three receivers, which would mean Oregon has one more spot left. But the caveat there is you leave one more kind of earmarked if you have room, if the player is talented enough to warrant the addition, then you go out and you find your fourth guy. I think they're going to try and find three. Depending on the player, depending on other needs, it could grow to four.
Yeah, the portal thing is what makes it so tough, which is why Which is why, honestly, that second recruiting window is going to become really important, because you could see players leave in December and January, and then you go kind of like a little bit of what happened with Justice Lowe. I'm not saying Oregon wouldn't have taken him if it were if they hadn't had some players leave and whatnot. But like, you know, let's say a kid or two decides to transfer and you've already signed your three or four, whatever the number Matt thinks it's going to be in December. Well, now you've got another spot available and you might look to add somebody. So I think the number is it's just a different time in terms of how you assess the numbers on this. And it's always changing. So I think that seems reasonable. I said four or five earlier, but that was probably me more than anything, just responding to the fact that you're going to see a guy or two. You might see a guy or two leave, and that's going to open up more space. And I also think that the Chapman addition, not that it removes a spot entirely because it's just 2 years, but from a scholarship perspective, you do have to take into account now that that takes another off the books for at least 2023, we think.
It's going to do it for us. For more coverage on these commitments, go to deckterritory.com. We'll have more of it on the site throughout the week until the next episode, which will be a Wednesday mailbag. And we've got a special tease. All three of us will be on the show for the first time in a long time. Make sure to look for that to drop later this week. Until then, you've been listening to the Odds and Audibles podcast.
Talk to you later, folks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.